Hello and welcome to the Offstage Cast, a podcast all about the Liverpool International Theatre Festival. Each episode, we will deliver an all-access pass to what staging an international theatre festival is all about. I am your host, Deborah Radall, along with Neil Maidman and Vic Mills. We are the Offstage Cast. Welcome to the Offstage Cast of the Liverpool International Theatre Festival, or LITF. I'm Deborah Radall, here today in what is a foggy Somerville Centre, Nova Scotia, Canada, just down the road from Liverpool. Here with our co-artistic directors, Neil Maidman and Vic Mills, speaking to you from Wales in the UK. Always helpful to have amazing technology to keep us together, even with an ocean between us. Now, what's our plan today, Vic?
Hi, Deborah. Hi, Neil. Hi, everybody listening in. Well, we're getting to meet some of our friends today from around the theatre world, finding out a little bit about what they've been up to during the pandemic and about what theatre means for them and for their audiences.
In the coming weeks, we'll be chatting to all sorts of theatre practitioners from around the world. Some of those who are attending our 2021 festival have sent some brief messages into us in the last day or so, just to say, well, just say hello, really.
I'm so excited to start meeting some of our theatre participants. And it's always nice to hear a new voice because we haven't been listening too much new stuff during this pandemic. So let's start today's podcast and have a listen.
Hello, team. This is Mike Gann from the Port Tobacco Players in Southern Maryland, United States of America. I look forward to...
Balamusiza mwenna abatuuliriza amannya eze poleka mugisha era nga ava mu Uganda mu East Africa. Ndi musomesa wa luzungu ne literature. Ate nga njagala nnyo ebintu bya theatre n'okuperforminga kubanga byampa omukisa.
Greetings, my name is Moed Vashakidze. I am the director of Sinai Theatre in Georgia. I am looking forward to meeting you.
Hello, Abdel. This is Imran Shaban, the director of Young Travelers Theatre from Malawi. Moni Nose, and Imran Shaban, welcome Malawi.
And hello back to you all. How wonderful to hear all of those voices. Different greetings, different languages from so many different countries. It's such a nice way to connect, which is extra meaningful now as we've all probably felt some isolation due to this world pandemic.
No, I was thinking that Neil and I have only spoken on the phone and on Zoom now for months. You know, we live in different boroughs in Wales and we're not allowed to travel at the moment outside of our immediate area.
Mm.
On the other hand, what am I saying? This is a bonus. I haven't had to run into Neil for months. It's been rather
all
nice.
Right. All right. Neil. Vic, before you two get too carried away with yourselves, remind us of the countries that we are going to have visiting us in Liverpool and performing at the 2021 festival.
Good plan. Right, let's start with Africa. So firstly, we have the Young Travellers Theatre from Malawi. Very excited to see these guys on their first visit to the festival. And then we have Uganda, represented by the Yashindi Theatre from the capital, Kampala. And we'll be hearing a bit of what Uganda has to offer a little bit later in the pod.
Oh, I love the idea of having all of these new companies coming to Liverpool. It's fantastic. And we will be speaking to the leader of the group from Kampala later in the podcast.
We will indeed. And we've got very exciting as well is that we have East Voice for Arts. And now those that were at the 2018 festival will remember these guys because they were from Egypt and they were the company that actually won the entire festival. And we're so pleased to have them back again for another visit. We have another company in Africa as well called the Fantasia Theatre of Casablanca, Morocco.
Ooh, Casablanca. This could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
You played it for her, you can play it for me. Play it, Sam.
Yes, yes, if I may continue.
You may, sir.
Right, okay. Yeah, we're working with amateurs here. Right, back to Africa, as they say. Lastly from Africa, we have another new group to the festival, the Bajaya Company from Algeria. And we also have some wonderful new groups visiting us from Europe too. Fantastic name on this group. They're called the Lucky Leo Troupe from Belgium, with what looks like a wonderful piece of theatre.
Lucky Leo Theatre. That's a really great name, Neil. Super great name. From a super great country, Belgium is so gorgeous. And they've been struggling like many with this pandemic. Well, it'll be really nice to meet them when they get here.
Yes, it will. We've got a great company again coming from Greece, from Thessalonica. So looking forward to meet those guys. And they seemed very excited about coming. We talked last time about shortcuts, and they're very excited about putting an entry into that as well. We also have a group from just outside Rome. And their entry is very, very different and very visual. So both the great civilizations of modern Europe are very well represented in our 2021 festival.
Modern?
You have no idea how old he is, Deb. All I'm saying, there's a picture of a very, very old bloke in his attic.
Oh, the fun just never stops with you, does it? That's just... Okay, you guys, play nicely.
Right. Well, we also have, if you'll let me get a word in edgeways, two groups in the USA. The first from Norfolk, Virginia, are new to us and have a lovely piece to bring to the theatre. They come with our old friend of the festival, John Gillis, and lots of Liverpool folk, I'm sure, will be glad to see John again. And then we have Port Tobacco Players from Maryland, a group who first came in 2008 when Vic and I first came to the festival. And they were absolutely superb then. They've made an indelible mark on my memory, at least. So we're also welcoming a much traveling and the superb Sanaji Theatre from Georgia, who have been to the festival before. Vic and I haven't met them, but they'd be so good to have them back in Liverpool too.
Wow. And look, don't forget our interesting troupe from right here in Canada.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, they are very interesting. And we are breaking with a little bit of tradition here, Deb, with including a wonderful youth theatre from Newmarket in Ontario, the Smile Theatre. And we're so looking forward to seeing them at the festival. They're going to bring so much colour and light to the festival with all that they do.
A youth theatre group. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Now, Neil, we often have South and Central American troops represented and Southern Asia, and not this time, though.
Well, our job as artistic directors is really difficult at times because we have some difficult decisions to make. You know, there's so many companies that offer so much, and we love to have them all, but, you know, we don't have the actual space. People have traveled from all over the world previously, from all the places you mentioned, and China too. In recent festivals, we've had a really wonderful and diverse theatre from Bangladesh, Nepal, India, Pakistan, Mexico, Peru, and we had entries from some of those countries this time round too. And we were very keen and very pleased to see work from them. But it's just we didn't have enough room for all of them in the festival. And, you know, what we look at, as we probably mentioned before, you know, we look to have an interesting and varied programme with lots of visual and high-impact theatre. So we're very excited about 2021 and what we're going to bring to you. I'm sure those guys have done an absolutely fantastic job, but, well, perhaps next time, eh?
Yeah, and I can certainly appreciate the challenge of trying to come up with that high-impact visual interest. And by the sounds of things, we still have some lovely diversity in our choices for this year. So that's always good to see. Now, Vic, you've been speaking to one of our newer companies to Liverpool International Theatre Festival in the last few days. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've been having some interesting conversation in recent days. That's right, Deborah, with the wonderful Polycarp Magisha, who is known as Polly to his mates.
Oh, so he insists that you call him Mr. Magisha then, does he?
He's one of my new mates, Neil, so be careful. Might be taking your spot.
Oh, Arcadere.
Gentlemen, let's stay on track, please. Vic, let's just roll your conversation with Polly, please.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here this morning with Polycarp Magisha from Kampala in Uganda. And it's best to call you Polly.
Yes, yes, it is.
It's nice to meet you and lovely to be here with you this morning. Tell us a bit about how things are in Uganda at the moment with the pandemic.
The pandemic did not spread as fast as other countries, although it has spread, and very many of us are trying to keep safe by keeping in our places, wearing face masks whenever we're going in public, washing our hands, and we walk around with tiny bottles of sanitizers so that every time we have to wash our hands. However, we are trying as much as possible to adhere to the directives of the Ministry of Health here in Uganda so that we can keep safe. So not many of us have been infected, and we hope that as things go on, the numbers drop and the pandemic clears and things go back to normal. Yeah,
we're all desperate for things to go back to normal, aren't we? Tell us a bit about the area that you live in. Do you live right in the middle of the city there?
No, I do not. I actually live a few miles away from the main city, which has the hustle and bustle of cars and many sounds mixed together. I live in a village that is away from the city called Kasangati. Kasangati is known for being the place where the head of opposition for our government lives. So it has had its own fair share of noise. It's a quiet village, beautiful with valleys and trees. Once upon a time, it had monkeys, but unfortunately, because of our disrespect for our environment, some forests were cleared and we've lost a fair share of some of the natural environment and animals which used to live here. So that is it about Kasangati. However, it's a very beautiful village, a very, very beautiful village.
So sounds lovely. So what do people do who live there? What are the main kind of occupations of the area?
It has people from different kinds of backgrounds. So the most elite, I think, can take on the route of politics. So the people who govern the whole, how they run the whole village, the town. And some of us, like me, are teachers. We teach in schools. There are very many schools in Kasangati. And people are drivers, just to get normal things working. So there are civil servants also, like lawyers. We have one court here in the village. There are sportsmen, about 2, 4, 5 fields where people play football. I do not know if you support football, but here we are very big fans of football, and we love it so much. Every so often we go to the fields, and except this year, unfortunately, we haven't had the chance to go to fields to watch soccer matches or football matches, but that is what it is in the village. So that is what we are. We're teachers, we are trades people, and yeah, that kind of thing.
It sounds good. I'm a massive football fan myself. We've got our local team is Cardiff City, who are in the championship in the UK, and a pretty good team. We've not had a great start to this season, but I've been supporting Cardiff since I was 11, which is quite a long time now.
Yes, I think it is. Really good for you.
So tell us a little bit about your theatre company and perhaps maybe how you got involved in it in the first place.
Well, it started in 2016. There are children who we were working with at church. So this theatre company began would I call it a marriage or working hand in hand between two organizations, the school for which I work, which is Tender Talents Magnet School, and a church close by called Nangabo Christian Miracle Fellowship. So what happened is the children of Sunday school had an opportunity to perform in Canada for a theater festival. I think it is the 14th World Children's Theater Festival. So I, with a group of friends, had to train these children and prepare them for the performance that they'll be presenting in Canada. So I wrote the play based on a folk tale, and the children put up a very good performance. I'm happy that they came back with an award, and yeah, I'm thankful that I got that chance. So later on, we wanted to make a group for adults as well. So that is how Shindi Community Theatre began. What we do is make stage plays about social problems. For instance, gender-based violence. We would talk about maybe education. We would talk about maybe the importance of art in our community, because that is looked down upon among very many communities here in Uganda. There is an acronym for people who study music, dance, and drama here in Uganda. Is it an abbreviation for people who study music, dance, and drama. They're called people who are Musilu, for M, Dala, Dala. Musilu means a stupid person, a loofah. Dala means very, very. So very, very stupid person. A person who does music, dance, and drama. Why does that mean? A person who doesn't really have anything, has a future. No one has a future if you study music, dance, and drama. So we didn't want that. We wanted to change the perspective of that. So we would stage plays to show how important art is, because no one can live without a song. No one can have a house without a small art piece. No one can go a day without, you know, seeing these forms of art which surround us. So to change that perspective on art, to inform people about social problems, that is our theatre company, and that is what we do.
That's really interesting, that the things that you've got to say about how important the arts are in our lives. Where would we be without them, isn't it?
Yes, that is very true.
We've got huge challenges in the arts now, haven't we, all over the world, because of people not being able to work and government showing whether they care about that or not, whether they're funding things or not. A big debate in Britain at the moment, you know, whether arts people should be funded when they can't work, etc. So, yeah, that's really good. Good to hear your thoughts. Tell me a bit about you as a theatre person and a performer. What do you personally love most about theatre? What really gets you going when you're performing?
It is my most electrifying feeling for performing is when I put on the shoes of a different person who is not Polycarp, who is not a teacher. I embody these different people. I loved when I performed as a policeman once, a corrupt policeman who was responsible for unfairly putting children behind bars. This is a play called This Evil Chain, and I loved it very much when I had to portray people so much, portray this policeman in such a way that I shone a light into how unfairly some things are done in our community. It would be the best feeling for me, I think, when I put on someone else, I put on a different skin. Then I also loved dancing. It's one of the things that I do as a theatre person, choreographing some of these dances. When I just finished school, I didn't have any work to do. That is between the time I finished secondary school and joining the university. I got a chance to perform with two dancing troupes, and performing for people who loved our dances was one of the best feelings I ever got. So the dancing and embodying somebody different who isn't me, I just shed off the skin and I'm someone else. That is one of the best feelings I ever got as a performer in theatre. So that is, I think, that is it for me. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful. I can totally relate to... Not dancing. I can't relate to dancing. I could never. my wife's always been a really good dancer, and I've always been kind of, I've always thought of myself as somebody who could dance, but she says, no, 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 you can't.
You don't listen to her.
I love movement, and I love watching dance, and I love been involved in movement work, and my plays tend to have some kind of movement stuff going on in them. I like choreographing for non-dance pieces. I'm very happy choreographing movement work. But anyway, the stuff you were saying about being in somebody else's shoes, I always feel when I'm writing that I have to have a part of me as the writer in every character. So even if they're a really, really unpleasant character, I have to have something in them that you can relate to, so that an actor can feel this person is not just altogether bad. There's, you know, I can understand why they're behaving in the way they're behaving, you know? And doing that as an actor, I always kind of, you know, finding those bits, finding bits of myself in a character, I think I always enjoy. Tell me a bit about the kind of people who come to watch your plays. Do you get a kind of cross of ages in the audience, or, you know, what kind of people make up your audience?
It is all kinds of groups, because we try to make our plays for all ages, despite the fact that some of the themes we present are quite mature. We try as much as possible to make these scenes family friendly. So we have children who sometimes come to watch our play. There are very many children who come to watch. We have people in their 20s, teenagers, and people who are old, who have brought their children. They come along and they watch the plays. And there are also people from all walks of life, market vendors, the people who maybe ride a border. That's a motorcycle for transportation. Yeah. That is, you know, all people from all walks of life, they come and they watch our plays. And I'm happy to say that they are usually entertained. They have something to say. When you're working in the community, sometimes they don't call you your name. They call you the character you played on stage. Hey, Alifonso, how are you doing?
Yeah. Excellent. Interesting with thinking about going to a foreign festival, and in this case, a festival in Canada. Travel from Uganda to Canada is not going to be cheap. So how will you go about affording that? Will people just be expected to pay for themselves, or will you have a series of fundraising activities, or will you apply for grants, or how will it work?
At the very beginning, we had to pay for ourselves. Actually, that is what we expected to do. Everybody is going to have to come up with the money for the visa and the money for the transport from here and back. And it's expected to be that way. However, you cannot expect everybody to be in a position to do that, because not everybody makes that kind of money. Mm-hmm. So, yes, fundraising is going to be part of the events that help us to travel from Uganda to Canada, because it is an interesting thing to travel. Much as you're going to perform, you know, the experience of seeing what another country looks like and learning things about it, that is an experience that is worth paying for. So the fundraising will be part of it, and everybody, whoever can bring whatever money they can to contribute to our traveling, will do so. Yeah. So that is what we shall do in order to travel.
You don't have, there aren't like government grants or anything you could apply for to help you with that process?
No, unfortunately, there aren't any. And those that are there are already, there's a bit of politics in the bureaucracy you have to go through. It's more or less pointless.
Yeah.
If I may put it, because it's better if you struggled on your own and put it together so that you could travel, because there's a lot of bureaucracy with it, and you end up usually not getting the grant. We have had funds being given to us sometimes by companies that wanted us to travel, but that is not with this particular group. That is with the other theatre companies that I have worked with, and that has been helpful for us, for those companies, but for us, it has to be different. Yeah.
Most of us in who've been in theatre for any time know that it's full of things going wrong as well as things going right. And it often leads to lots of kind of funny stories and things of our experiences on stage and backstage. Have you got any funny stories that you'd be able to share with us about some of your theatre experiences, Polly?
Yes, yes. I think I have about two of these. One is a time when we had to perform a play that we were not ready to perform. We had performed it the previous year. I think that was in 2012. And in 2013, somebody came abruptly and said, you know, this is the festival and I'd like you to perform this play. We had no choice but to perform the play. We had not reviewed the script. Some of us had forgotten our lines. And unfortunately, one of the key characters came to the stage and forgot his line and kept nodding his head and said, yes, yes, yes. This is after a line he'd forgotten the line he was supposed to say, and he just kept nodding his head and saying yes while pensively writing on a note, yes, that is true, yes, yes. Until somebody had to improvise and get the play moving on. It was chaotic. That was how it went. And that's because we had to perform it abruptly and no one was ready. And And the second is maybe when the curtain, I don't know how modern stages are supposed to be made, but the curtain holder on our theatre broke, okay, midway broke, and and half of the curtain fell and covered in a diagonal, covered the stage.
Oh dear.
It was one of the funniest things I ever saw. We were performing in the middle of it and the curtain fell, half of it fell on the stage. We did not know what to do. We just had to stop in the middle of it and, you know, get it out of the way so that we continue. It was, you know, sad, but you know, it's kind of like how you would fall on stage.
And the audience would never forget it, see, would they? It might have seemed like a disaster at the time, but it probably made their night. They'd be able to tell that story.
I think so. Every time they come to watch the play, they remember and say, you know, this is the stage where the curtain fell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our disasters always make good stories, I think. Oh, thanks for sharing those with us. Okay, we're very privileged now this morning. We're going to be able to have a little piece of music and maybe some poetry too coming to us from Kampala this morning.
Right. So this song has the words Wevale, Afoyo. These are words which mean thank you in Ugandan languages. Wevale is thank you for Uganda, and Afoyo is thank you in Acholi. I wrote the poem in gratitude to all the good things that we have in life. So here it goes. When the sun rises and I have eyes to see, I will say Wevale. I will walk around beaming, for my breath has got a meaning. When the sun rises and I have eyes to see, I will say, Wevale, Afoyo Matek, because today I listened to a song and I had ears to hear and listen. I will strum and hum the melody. I will bounce and drum the beat. When the song starts playing and I hear it, I will say, Afoyo Matek.
Omusisteri senge emisingo mwangu njagala nkwebase kuba mukama nkoledda magero. Omusisteri senge emisingo mwangu njagala nkwebase kuba mukama nkoledda magero.
For when my life a sad route takes, and my joy the world's worries snatch, a song in my heart will I need, and the sun rays that shine will dwarf the towering shadows. I will smile broadly and I say, thank you, Waverly, a foyer matic. Thank you very much. That is how it goes.
Right. Oh, that was lovely. Thank you very much, both of you. Thoroughly enjoyed that this morning. And I know our listeners to the podcast will really appreciate that. Thank you very much for that. And thank you, brother, for the guitar and the singing. That was lovely.
Thank you very much.
Such a privilege to hear from Polly about life and theater in Uganda. And Vic, I think it was brilliant that you persuaded him to perform a little for us. I'm really excited to see what they're going to bring to our festival.
Yeah, no, he's an absolutely lovely guy. And it's going to be so good to have the chance to actually meet up face to face next year.
Well, we'll be hearing lots more from our troops around the theatre world in the coming podcast.
And the whole bit about meeting face-to-face is something that we're all really looking forward to doing when we can get back together. Until then, keep listening to the Offstage Cast from the Liverpool International Theatre Festival. And remember to message us at litf.ca with any comments or questions you would like to ask our international guests. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Offstage Cast from the Liverpool International Theatre Festival. Remember to subscribe in your favourite podcast app so you don't miss any future episodes. For more information and to contact us, be sure to visit our website, litf.ca.